Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Morning Show. The Home Team. No, it's both. It's the Crossover.
Crossover! Step back!
Presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen right here on 960theref.com.
Episode 107, the Crossover Podcast, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also now in Five Points. Appreciate you checking us out, whether you subscribe to us on iTunes or listen at your own leisure on demand at 960theref.com. Chris Brame from the home team, David Johnston from the morning show. You mix that all up and you get the Crossover Podcast coming to you today on not great terms. And as we record this is usually on Thursdays, and that's what today is, we've pretty much have already spent the week talking about the debacle, the embarrassment last week against South Carolina. I don't know how much we want to, like, dive into to that here.
What is left to be said that hasn't already been said?
Yeah. Something did hit me as I was walking in here today, though, before we hit record on the old podcast. Was as bad as we feel about the game, one thing I've noticed this week, though, is our confidence hasn't been shaken so much that we just lost at home to South Carolina, and that hasn't kept a lot of fans from worrying about, are we going to beat Florida? Are we going to beat Auburn? So we just lost to South Carolina, and it's not like anyone is worried now about, like, oh, well, now we're going to lose to Kentucky, too, right? So at least, like, well, I guess we don't feel that bad about things then, huh?
Well, if Georgia had squeaked out a victory Saturday, what would the point spread be against Kentucky this coming, the same as it is?
I think about the same, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So on that confidence level, with the guys who are using their brains and not their hearts, that makes me feel better. I think that if somehow something went just drastically wrong this Saturday, that couldn't happen. There's just no way that this could happen 2 weeks in a row, because basically – Georgia's playing South Carolina again. Yeah, some different personnel, but same type teams. Now, South Carolina did beat Kentucky by, 17 points. And Coach Stoops did say something to the effect of, you guys chuckle when I said they were better than everybody thought. And now, look, they go to Athens and beat the Dogs. So maybe they're not quite as bad as everyone wanted to think. But all that being said, Georgia is – almost a 4-touchdown favorite here. This should not happen 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. I mean, what we all want to end up happening and what Saturday ends up being, we look back on it, and it was a very good team, one of the best teams in the country that had a very, very bad day and unfortunately couldn't squeak out a close win and got the straight up loss. But we'll just see how the rest of the season plays out. But yeah, at least with the objective parties on various islands in the Caribbean and out in the desert in Vegas and all the other places now where sports wagering is legal, their opinion on Georgia still seems to be pretty much the same, because the number is, like you said, I figure where it would be. Even if we had blown South Carolina out on Saturday.
It'd still be the same, right?
Yeah. And even if you look at national championship futures right now, I mean, Georgia has obviously dropped because they have a loss, but Georgia's like 12-1 now. So of one-loss teams, they're still they're higher than Florida. Florida's are like 40-1.
And the ones I saw, too, Georgia was ahead of Wisconsin. Georgia was – there was another undefeated –
Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I get it. It's still out there. That's the question I've been asked more than any this week is – hey, we still control our own destiny, don't we? And I went, well, sort of. I mean, if Georgia wins out, and this is the question I get asked, hey, if we win out, we can still get to the playoff. And I went, well, yeah, I guess, but A, do you think Georgia's going to win out after what you saw on Saturday? And B, it's not a given. I mean, it would, if you win the SEC championship, you're probably in.
With one loss.
With one, yeah. But even if the one loss is horrendous at home, would it still – you know, here's the thing. It's like, what if Ohio State goes undefeated? What if Oklahoma goes undefeated? And what if Clemson goes undefeated? I know you are definitely not high on Clemson, but I'm just throwing them in.
I'm high on Clemson that they're a good team, but their resume, like, they shouldn't just get a free pass.
Right.
So.
And then what if, like, the Alabama LSU loser, that's their only loss and it's a close one, and then Georgia would have beat the winner of that game in the SEC championship.
So then the loser of that game goes over Georgia?
I'm not saying. I'm just saying, but because if you look at the losses,
yeah, I know, yeah,
right. Like, you know, if LSU lost a close game in Tuscaloosa,
they would
that
have
was a, their only, you know, their yeah, only defeat.
They would have a least worst loss.
A least worst loss. Yeah. They weren't the SEC champions, and they wouldn't have played in the SEC championship game. But we've seen that before.
Yep.
The only difference is, though, is the SEC champion also got in the playoff. Alabama did 2 years ago.
No, but we saw it in the Big Ten, though.
Yes.
Ohio State made
got
the playoff
it.
And Penn State made the
right.
Rose Bowl. So there is actually.
So is that outrageous to say?
Well, no, because we have seen it before.
Yeah.
And we really don't know what the rules are
exactly.
of the playoff.
Exactly.
Are they looking for the four best teams? Are they looking for the four best conference champions? It's like, we don't know.
That's the frustrating.
Yeah, because I think most would agree, and that's just not, you know, biased Georgia fans, that Georgia last year was one of the four best teams in the
right.
country, but we didn't win the SEC.
Had two losses.
Right. We had
yeah.
two losses and didn't win the conference, so we ended up in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
But in other years, they decided to take Ohio State, who didn't even appear in their conference title game, over Penn State, who beat them and then also
yeah.
won the conference. Because in that year, they were looking
right.
for the four best teams.
Right.
So
you just don't know. But that's kind of been my answer is, yeah, I would say 95% if you win out and win the SEC championship, you'll get in the playoff. But it's not a given. It's not 100%.
Right. I feel like, yes, that would happen. But also, to your original point, like, I mean, you really think we're going to win out now? We just lost at home to South Carolina. So
in the injuries and just – a lot of things stacking up right now.
Yeah.
And the November schedule is tough.
I thought we were going to lose a game in November anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
And so what am I now going to think? Like, well, now I guess we're not because we can't. And I guess we could still lose one of those games, but then we would just be in a position where we would need help.
Exactly.
Like, basically, if we lost one of them, the loss would have to be to Auburn. We'd have to beat Florida
right.
and Missouri, and we would still at least own all tiebreakers there. Although then we might need help. South Carolina's only got two league losses, right? We need
yeah.
them to lose to Florida then, and then
who do they have left? Vandy and
Tennessee and Texas A&M. Yeah,
and where that's in
College Station.
Yeah.
I think that's the week before the Aggies come here.
Yeah.
At least there's that's one team in November we play that won't be off a bye before we play them.
Not the only team,
because the next three will Florida,
yeah.
and I know we have it too.
Yeah,
but we play three straight teams off byes.
Schedule makers.
Yeah.
Just not looking out for the dogs. Now this weekend, we're, you know, the crowd might get killed with this horrible weather that's supposed to hit us. It's supposed to rain all day Saturday.
And be cold, right?
And be cold.
One of those, yeah.
1 to 2 inches of rain and a high of 58.
Woo. Sloppy game, too, for,
yeah.
you know, this Kentucky team's got an offense. They've got a receiver now playing quarterback. That's all they want to do is run and keep it on the ground.
How about this note? Lynn Bowden, and he joins Antoine Randall L. from where? Indiana, right?
Yeah.
Julian Edelman from, did he go to Kansas State? Now, where did Edelman go? Amendola went to Kansas State.
Went to Kansas State. Wes Welker went to Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah. Edelman.
Edelman went to Kent State.
Okay, that's right.
He was a quarterback there.
And now Lynn Bowden, the only FBS player since 2000 to have at least 20 rushing attempts, 10 passing attempts, and a punt return in the same game.
Wow.
And I didn't realize after this Saturday that he's quarterbacking them, and they're letting him field punts. That's
I didn't
weird.
Know they were. He was the punt guy, too, now that he's also become their quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's like Mark Stoops is like, you're our best player.
Exactly.
Let's see what happens.
You're the Kelly Leak of Kentucky football.
Yeah. And they got, and he got
everything.
They got him a win over Arkansas. And I know they've got, you know, some Georgia fans are nervous about this. And then other ones are like, are we going to beat Florida? Are we going to beat Florida? Yeah. So everyone's upset about what happened to South Carolina, but not so upset that we think lightning can strike twice,
right.
I guess.
Right. If it does, holy cow.
If it does, then this is a disaster season. Yeah. That's why, honestly, even with the game Saturday, it's like, what is there to say about it? If Georgia loses it, then, it's a disaster. If Georgia wins it, they should, but I don't know how much. If they blow them out, maybe that'll help ease our minds a little bit for the next couple of games. But even if they win a close game, like, how are we going to feel about that? What if Georgia wins by, like, 10?
I know. Well, I heard your scenario. Would you rather, like, you were asking Jeff, was it you want to win 44-34 or 24-14?
Yeah, because like, do we want to see the offense put up points? Yeah. So then would we like say, well, the defense just hard to prepare for what Kentucky has now with Bowden playing quarterback, and so they gave up a lot. So would you rather see the offense actually score and win a close game or not score and win a close game?
By the way, talking about, and South Carolina's defensive line was good. I mean, they've got some players.
Yeah, and Kinlaw might be, after Derrick Brown, like the best D lineman in the league.
Yes, and then that Standage, he played a good game. I know he
didn't. Who we wanted.
Exactly. He didn't fill up the stat sheet, but for him to have a good game, he doesn't have to fill up the stat sheet. And then I know Pickens played a bunch of snaps too, I guess, but I don't remember what he did statistically. Kentucky has a defensive tackle named Calvin Taylor who's 6'9", 300. Their nose guard, Quentin Bahana, 6'4", 361, and his backup, Marquand McCall, is 6'3", 371. I don't think we've seen that in a while, although that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. That might be one of those where, like, what was it? I was asking Russ Tanner about David Pollock, and I said, what did he do with Max Gene Gillis in the practices leading up to games? He goes, oh, he just ran around him. So that might be something that Georgia's going to have to do on Saturday with these big guys that Kentucky has.
Yeah, but our offensive line has its reputation to repair a little bit after that performance Saturday.
And you think the injuries too, though? I mean, you watch your offensive line, it's five guys playing as one.
Right.
And South Carolina last year when Thomas got hurt, Mays comes in, they didn't have to switch anybody around. He just came in and played his position. But now with Schaefer being out and some other guys banged up, they're having to move guys around. Got a different center this year, and just the cohesiveness hasn't been there, I guess, is what we thought it would be.
No, I know, it's like Georgia's recruited well there and there's a lot of depth, but and it's not just even you're missing guys, but when it is happening like in the game. So yeah. Schaefer got hurt last week, and then Kinley, who had been out, comes in, but he couldn't finish the game.
Right.
And I, like, to me, it sounds like even though he's out there still practicing and everything, it'll be available to go, but it doesn't sound like he's healthy or 100%. So right. Even if Kinley is playing, you've got a guy that's injured that's out there. And
but you're right. They got a reputation to repair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because even on one of those plays, it was the play that where Fromm was – I think Fromm was trying to throw it away on the pick six. He just didn't get enough on it. But the reason he didn't get enough on it is because Kinlaw was like in the process of sacking him, and Fromm was going backward. I mean, Kinlaw just beat it. Was I don't remember if it was Cleveland or Mays playing guard then, but Thomas was our right tackle. So you've got either Cleveland or Mays and then Thomas, the right side. He obliterated both of them and just was right pretty much on the snap. There he is bearing down on Fromm, and we know what happened. It was the pick six.
Did they have anybody get an SEC Weekly honor, South Carolina?
Oh, yeah. That corner that had the three picks.
I was like, he had to have gotten it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, he got
okay,
it.
Okay, okay, good, good.
Yeah.
Because when they were coming out Monday, I was kind of paying attention, and then I got distracted.
You knew we didn't have anyone
back
on it.
I know, yeah, but I was like, if that guy doesn't win Defensive Player of the Week, who would deserve it? I mean,
oh,
three
he got
picks,
it.
Including a pick six. He said after the game he had never had three picks in a game on, any level that he's played on. I mean, of course, that happens here. Just one of those weird things. So,
Fromm that was his first pick six in his career here. Mm. And, of course, he hadn't thrown a pick all year and then throws 3-1 guy.
3-1 guy. Although there was a pick six earlier. That was Bennett that
was
threw that one.
In the Murray State game, I think. Yeah.
And, George hadn't allowed an FBS sack all season long. So that changed on Saturday.
Yeah. Well, they had three, right?
Yeah.
And then that's the other side of that, though, is we didn't have any. We only had, what, two or three tackles for loss. We didn't create any turnovers. So, you know, hidden in the disappointment of the offensive performance is the, you know, the defense wasn't creating the havoc that it wanted. And I know South Carolina ended up only scoring 20 points, and they only had the pick six as their last touchdown there right before the half. But, I mean, they played their most of the second half with a third-string quarterback, and we forced them three and out one time.
And then you throw in the fact, too, that they didn't run a play in the red zone until the overtime. It's just kind of mind-boggling, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like they went the whole 60 minutes without running a play in the red zone.
But it's not like, you know, we couldn't just immediately get them off the field at any point,
right,
though. And that ended up leading to, you know, our starting field position wasn't great. But they went three and out on their first drive of the game. And then there was, I think, their second or third drive of the second half. And that was it.
Yep. That was it. It was their third drive at the second half.
Yeah.
And they punted, and we took over at the 112 mark of the third quarter, and then that was the possession where Fromm fumbled the snap.
Yeah.
You know, and then they kept punting. But that's the thing. Even though the defense did a great job of keeping them out of the red zone, they didn't create it as much havoc as they needed to
right,
in a game like
and
that.
And couldn't get them off the field at some points quick enough. Like, even at the end, we scored a tie the game. You got a chance to maybe make a stand and get it back, but they were able to move it past midfield and eat some more time. And, I mean, I don't know what Will was thinking with that 57-yard field goal, although it did have the distance, but I couldn't believe he
attempted
that.
Well, that's the other question. You know, in the Notre Dame game, Kirby kept getting asked, hey, how come you didn't go for it and you kicked it? And then in this game, the question was, how come you didn't kick it? You went for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you can't win sometimes.
No, that's why he needs a strategery analyst to help him out
like
with
the basketball
things.
Team.
The basketball team discovered they have a guy.
I heard y'all talking about that.
His name
that.
Is Dice Yoshimoto, and he was formerly with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
He might be the difference in...
He might be
you
the
know,
guy. Coach
four,
Green.
Three or four wins?
You don't want to call this timeout right now. Just let the guys play.
I can't wait to see. Now, he wasn't with us last year?
No, he was on, I guess, the Timberwolves back in the spring after the season, like basically fired their entire coaching staff.
Okay.
And he was one of them.
Really?
So, yeah.
Interesting.
So, he's...
I'm very curious.
Coach Green scooped him up.
Out.
I'm fired up.
I am, too.
All right, that's the crossover podcast. We're presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen in Watkinsville and also now in Five Points. As always, you can subscribe to us at iTunes. Rate us, review us there, and you know, download us whenever we post a new episode. Or I believe, you know, we'll just download ourselves, or you can listen anytime on demand at 960theref.com. We will pause. We'll come back, and we'll ask, who should feel worse, St. Louis Cardinals fans or Atlanta Braves fans, now that I wish they were still the Montreal Expos, but the Washington Nationals are going to the World Series.
Yep.
It's the Crossover Podcast on 960theref.com.
True Italian food has returned to Five Points and brought some friends along, because Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen is now open in Five Points, Athens. At the new Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen, you'll find all your Italian favorites, from pizza to calzones and baked ziti, along with sandwiches, salads, wings, and more, plus a full bar for beer, wine, and cocktails. It's time to eat at the now open Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen at Five Points in Athens, and also in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center off Mars Hill Road in Watkinsville.
It is episode 107, part 2, the crossover podcast presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Chris Brame, David Johnston with you. And, I mean, what a week it was, though, from the Braves giving up a 10 spot in the first, the way Georgia lost, then even the Falcons, they end up losing because Matt Bryant misses an extra point. And so in less than a week, the Braves go from just this historic defeat in a game 5 of the LDS, and then watch their division rival never trail and sweep a 4-game series from St. Louis. And so all of a sudden, West Washington makes the World Series too.
And so now the Seattle Mariners are the only franchise, right, that
That's
have
it.
Never been to the World Series.
Yep.
But they're also the only, well, they also have the record for most wins in a season.
Yeah.
And yet they've never been to the World Series. Just the irony of that.
Yeah. They lost to the Yankees.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny, like, football, or in the NFL, NHL, MLB, and who am I leaving out? The
NBA.
I guess NBA, the team that won the most games in the regular season that has the record didn't win the championship in any of those sports. So,
yeah.
I don't know what that means. I mean, you probably
– means the regular season does not matter.
But I wonder – I know in the case of, like, Golden State – did they spend so much to get that Bulls record for this? You know, and they lost to LeBron in the Cavs. Did they, you know, extend themselves too much in the regular season?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, it could have.
You know, with the Patriots and the Giants and the Super Bowl.
That one didn't make any sense.
No. That one's hard to explain. And I don't know the NHL one. I just know that whoever it was.
Wasn't it last year? Like, the Tampa Bay Lightning last year, I think, had an historic season.
Is that what
they got swept in, like, the first round. It was either them or maybe, like, an old Red – like, not an old Red Wings team, but maybe one from, like, the 90s.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously I don't know.
But last year, like, the Lightning – and, I mean, I don't really pay attention to the hockey, but they had some sort of a historic regular season, and they ended up getting swept in the first round of the playoffs.
It happens. It's goofy.
Yeah. The Patriots one is the one that really is like the heart is the one that doesn't make sense. But I mean, I guess I get it in baseball. Or
baseball tends to have the most unpredictable postseason.
Yeah. And still it was like they lost to the Yankees.
Yeah.
The Golden State lost to LeBron.
Right.
But like the Patriots lost to the Giants and Eli. It's like Tom Brady lost.
What were they, a 9-7 team?
Yeah, that year. I think they were 9-7 that year, and then they were 10-6 the other time they beat them. But yeah, it was like Tom Brady lost to Eli Manning in the Super Bowl to avoid an undefeated season.
Like, what?
Yeah, that's the one
that
where
makes no sense.
That's the hardest one to figure out.
Yeah. So what we were talking about with the Mariners, it's just weird that they're now the only franchise that's never been to the World Series, but they have the record for most wins in a regular season.
Yeah, I've got a feeling this year, like, New England's going to go undefeated this season, and the Super Bowl's in Miami, so that's where they're going to cap off their perfect season.
You see it happening this year.
Yeah, I mean, who's beating? And even, like the Chiefs, where you figured, like, the seemed like the best case to maybe beat them in the AFC, but now they got problems. Their defense stinks, and Mahomes is hurt.
Yeah.
So, and New England's defense is ridiculously good.
It is. And I'm glad they brought Ben Watson back. So after all of that stuff, he's back again.
Yeah, he was suspended anyway. Then they cut him, and then they brought him back.
And now he's back.
Yeah. And maybe the Bengals will trade him A.J. Green.
Yeah, that would be that'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
To see him suddenly playing for the Patriots.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Falcons are 1-5. And I don't
even know what to say anymore about them either. Other than they're just a disaster.
Yeah, but now it's like you got to just get a good draft pick out of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who cares?
But they're, unfortunately now, they're worse than a draft pick away from getting back on it, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, they hired Dan Quinn because he was a defensive coach to fix their defense, and now their defense is actually probably worse than it was when he took over, isn't it?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's – I know they forced a couple of three and outs in the second half, but the Cardinals, they scored on their first, what was it, like six or seven possessions?
It was every one of the first half.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a stretch going back to the Houston game. The Falcons,
it
was 13 straight drives where their opponents didn't punt or turn it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not defense.
No, in the last 2 weeks, they've given up 11 touchdowns.
Yeah. And I get it. Houston put a 50 burger on them, but still, that's crazy that it's gotten that bad. I mean, do they miss Keanu Neal that much?
No, they were. Yeah, it wasn't like they were.
So, like, if he hadn't gotten hurt, they'd be one of the top defenses in the NFL. No, I mean, it's not. This is more than one guy.
Yeah. Hey, as a diehard college football fan, seeing Deshaun Watson and Kyler Murray light up a defense though does not surprise me.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And that city, Houston, that quarterback, Deshaun Watson, everything's just, whether it's the Falcons or whether it's Georgia, it just feels like everything's just intertwined there with them.
Yeah.
The weird thing would be if Georgia got that Houston quarterback, if he transferred over here next year.
Oh, dear.
But I don't know what's going on with that situation.
I don't know if he's just trying to save face. But the stories you keep hearing out of there now is this was like orchestrated by Dana Holgorsen.
Yeah.
Because I think he's not the only one who did that. There's like a couple guys that played the four games and now are sitting out the rest of the season that basically he was like, hey, let's come back next year. We'll have a really good year.
It's crazy.
It's like basically it's a college team that's actively tanking.
They're tanking. Yeah. Exactly.
So, I got that new a new red shirt rule.
Now, I wonder if all of this stuff will cause the NCAA to rethink that rule. I mean, I don't know. But there's always surprising consequences to rules. I get that. But I don't think this is what they had in mind to tank.
No, and I don't think it's one of those rules now that they'd look good if they walked it back. Plus, originally, I think the coaches all liked it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now some of them are like, wait a second, maybe I don't like it so much.
Wait, we're tanking.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when, I guess it was Brett Bielema when he was at Wisconsin. You remember the kickoff rule where the clock would start when you kick the ball?
He kept getting penalized until the clock went to zero.
And he ran out of half, didn't he, against Joe Pa?
Yeah, and Joe Pa was not happy.
Not happy, and nothing he could do about it.
No, but they changed that rule.
Yep.
Yeah.
So sometimes when you do get these unintended consequences of rules, sometimes things change.
Yeah. But I guess King could potentially be in the transfer portal, but you know, I don't know. Depending on how this season plays out, there will start to be questions about Georgia's offense and its philosophy and its scheme and what it does and, you know, whether or not a guy like that would look at Georgia and say, like, I want to go and play there. Yeah, sure.
I know.
Yeah.
It may not be the case. But you're right. I mean, it's probably a situation where they're just regrouping for 2020.
That's because originally it's felt like as his dad was involved and as he was transferring, and of course everyone was like, we're quitting on your team, and it didn't look good for him. So I felt like maybe he was just trying to save face and say, like, no, I'm going to stay and just come back next year. But now it does sound like that's probably more the case. But like, the thing is like Holgorsen was involved in.
No, it's a weird look. It's not like he, as far as what we know now, it's not like he's leaving the team to go somewhere else. I mean, he might end up doing that, but as of right now, it's just like, no, we're dialing it back this year to ramp up for next year.
Because like Kelly Bryant last year left
the team,
right?
And you know there was some underlying hard feelings there because Dabo wouldn't give him a ring.
Yeah,
maybe Dabo was being, you know, too, whatever I'm trying to say, you know, butthurt over the whole thing. But just the fact that he wouldn't give him a ring lets you know that didn't end very well,
right? Dabo's one of those guys like Bobby Bowden is like out there, the persona he puts on publicly, and then the media eats it up.
Right.
But, you know, because he's like all shucks. But then deep down inside, he's.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's different.
He's giving those guys steroids. And
yeah, I know. And they're, you know, they're working their way around
like
all that stuff.
Oh, shucks. You know, it's in their hair care products.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we got you.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. So I don't know. But it's weird what's going on right now with the transfer portal and the redshirt rule and all the other stuff. And I think the players deserve to get what they get. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but the unintended consequences of these rules does make it a little bit tough too. So
yeah,
and it's, you know, for the fans, it's like the fans are always like, hey, we just, you know, the players should get this and get that. But then when it affects your team, then you get mad.
Like you don't like transfers until you get one.
Exactly.
Like every coach hates transfers, but then that all coaches accept them though also.
and as a Georgia fan, the way things have gone this year, you know it's going to be Ohio State and either Oklahoma or Washington. Well, maybe not Washington. But you know,
Ohio State's going to win the national title.
Yeah,
they are.
It just feels like it right now.
Yeah, and the only thing that would make me feel better about that is if they play Oklahoma. So at least Bama fans are like looking like, well, Hurts is in there too.
Get
now
a little
too.
Bit of also. I know.
Yeah, but I do like it. Is funny like because Jeff was saying. He was getting into a Twitter beef. He didn't get into a Twitter beef because he didn't want to argue with the person who made the comment. But somebody was like, "We picked the Georgia picked the wrong, you know, let the wrong guy go."
Oh yeah, I know.
And it was just like, first of all, we didn't let him. We wanted him to stay.
Yeah, Georgia didn't tell him to leave.
The guy even tagged along to the Sugar Bowl when we knew all along he was leaving. We went to the very last second to try and get him to stay. We didn't let him go. We didn't want him to go. We wanted him here.
Yes.
But listen, he's better off. He'd be our backup quarterback now. Instead, he's right now you got what? Burrow, Hurts, Tua, and then Fields. It's like those are the four top quarterbacks in the country.
Right. And Burrow is, I saw the AP halfway point of the season All-America team. He was the first team quarterback.
Yeah. If they handed out the Heisman right now, he'd win it.
He's the winner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
that's a match. Like Alabama and LSU have the quarterbacks who have thrown for the second and the third most yards in the country. And with Washington State's quarterback being number one, but that's all they do is pass.
So the question is asked, is that what certain teams need to do?
Well,
change their offense?
That's all
I've heard this week.
I don't think certain teams and programs should just be like, no, well, we have an identity. This is what we want to lead with this and establish this. And I think teams run well because they're winning, and then they have a lead, and so they just try and run it out there. But in this day and age,
like if Wisconsin gets stuffed, what's going to be the rhetoric for their fan base? Oh, we're just 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We got to change that.
Yeah, but to me, it's just like because I remember over the summer I was, and the joke's on me now, but I was hung up on the fact that Justin Fields' Heisman odds were like the same or better than Fromm's before the during the summer.
Yeah,
like the joke's on me now though. But I remember
you're saying those guys out in Vegas knew something.
They must have, yeah. But then there was like some Georgia fans would make a point where like, well, Fromm isn't going to be a Heisman contender because you have to have like the look at all these quarterbacks that win the Heisman, and if a Georgia quarterback has those stats, that's bad.
Right.
Like if Alabama can have a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, mm-hmm. I think we can too.
Yeah.
I think we can.
Absolutely.
We'll be all right. And if LSU can have a quarterback do what Burrow's doing, I think Georgia will be okay if we're not establishing the run.
But the funny thing, too, is, well, at least with Bama, they run the football, too. I mean, there's tons of offense.
Well, yeah. And LSU, I mean, they had a bunch of big runs against Florida, but they lead with the pass now to help their run open up. I couldn't remember the number of times last week watching them play Florida that I would, like, rewind my DVR and be like, I don't think LSU had a running back in on that play. And you'd rewind it like, no, sure enough, there was just old Joe Burrow in the shotgun with like five guys split out wide.
Yeah.
Like, this is LSU that was running play after play after play and didn't even have a running back in the game.
Well, when LSU and Alabama play in a couple of weeks, is it going to be a pinball type game? Or
it's going to be like a Big 12 game.
Yeah.
It won't be 9-6.
No, it will not. By the way, as we tape today, it's October 17. The last time the Dogs played on October 17, the final score was 9-6 over Missouri. Ooh.
Yeah, that wasn't a good night. That was one of those where like it's better we won the game, but no one felt good about that.
The star of the game, Kenneth Towns, because he made a tackle on an interception on Georgia's first possession where Missouri got the ball at the 1 yard line and settled for a field goal.
They did kick the field goal there.
Yes,
yeah, they didn't even try to go for it.
Nope.
Well, good.
Funny stuff.
Yeah, because they might have ended up scoring there.
Yep.
But that that does lead as we wrap up today's edition then. Is Saturday's game still, is it one like, you know, of course. You just want Georgia to win and be, what, 6-1 heading into the game in Jacksonville. But does it also feel like still like an acceptable score game? Like if the margin isn't wide enough that are we going to be comforted?
My problem with like it's Thursday and we're talking about Saturday is how much is the weather going to be a little bit of an equalizer? Because it sounds like it's going to be a horrible day weather-wise. So if it rains all day, the stadium's not going to be as – and by the way, the fans have been great, don't get me wrong. But it's just if it rains all day, it's not going to have the same atmosphere as it would like say for a regular night game. Does it help Kentucky any? You know, I don't know. I'm having trouble right now trying to put a feel for it because of this weather. Like, we could have a couple of inches of rain on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, we know what Kentucky wants to do now. They've got Bowden playing quarterback.
Exactly.
And I think they passed 10 or 11 times.
He was 7 for 11 for like 96 yards or something.
And then he ran,
for almost 200.
Yeah, 200. So.
Yeah. And they also had couple of other backs combined for like 140 yards. Now, granted, we're talking about Arkansas, but still, they they did some stuff they wanted to do.
Yeah.
And well, that Sawyer Smith might play, too, on Saturday.
Well, I hope he does.
So that gives Georgia, you know, another thing to think about.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Kirby's probably thinking, please play him at quarterback. I bet he'd rather see him than
probably
Bowden.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Next week will be a bye week, but hopefully we'll have a better result and a better frame of mind heading into the game in Jacksonville to start November. I think the Falcons are going to win Sunday against the Rams, so maybe we'll talk about them next week too. I think they're going to beat the Rams.
Is Ramsey going to play for the Rams? Which is great that they got a guy named Ramsey.
Yeah, already.
I guess he is.
He might. Yeah. He was in Jacksonville. He just has to
come on over now. To Atlanta, yeah.
I think a big question is Gurley going to play?
I know.
He didn't play last week, so.
And this is their stopover trip, right? The Rams, because they're headed to London after this.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, so.
So this is they're L.A. to Atlanta to London. Maybe they're looking ahead. Maybe the Falcons have got them in a good place.
Yeah. I think they do. Falcons have them right where they want them. All right. This has been episode 107 of the Crossover Podcast. Thanks to our sponsor, Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen. Go and enjoy them. They're at their location in the Manders Crossing Shopping Center in Watkinsville, and also now in the old Waffle House location in Five
it's
Points.
Awesome.
For Dave, I am Chris. We'll talk to you again next week. This has been the Crossover Podcast. Again, subscribe to us on iTunes or listen at your leisure anytime on demand at 960theref.com.
You've been listening to The Crossover, presented by Fully Loaded Pizza Kitchen on 960theref.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.